and turn to Psalm 34. Because David had an unwavering hope, and an unwavering hope that God was watching him. You see, he hoped in God, and he feared God, and the essence of fearing God is that God is watching him. That God is always looking on in every situation, and because of that, and because that never wavered in his life, he magnified God as he watched him. And we're going to see this. I want you to see this in Psalm 34. And mine is all marked up because every time I read this psalm, it just jumps out at me. 22 specific times in this psalm, one for every verse, David notes the fact that God is watching and personally involved in his life. And that is why he is so laid out in Scriptures as the man that's after God's own heart. He knew that God was watching him. And because he knew that God was watching him, and just like a child that knows their parents are watching them, and if they love their parents, they act in a special way to acknowledge that before their parents. And just like that, a dear son, before his Father in heaven, David, in every part of his life, was magnifying God. Let's look at it. Psalm 34. You remember the setting for this psalm. But let's just get an insight of how David looked at it when he found himself confronted with a great deal of trouble. And he was in the courts of the great warlord of the Philistines. And he wanted to get out of there. And so he wrote this to tell us how he felt as he acknowledged that God was watching him. And God took him out of this. He said, I will bless the Lord at all times. His praise will continually be in my mouth. My soul shall make its boast in the Lord. The humble shall hear it and rejoice. And here's his theme. Remember, God's watching, so what does he want to do? He said, as you watch God watching me, why don't you magnify the Lord with me and let us exalt his name together. So let's look as David records for us God watching him and how he responded in a difficult situation and be exalting the Lord together. How can we exalt the Lord together? By acknowledging that he's watching us in a similar way to the way David did. Let's begin the 22 specific times. I'll just note them for you, starting in verse 4. He said, I sought the Lord. Boy, we all do, don't we? At various times. But notice what he says after that. And he answered me. You see, he was asking something and he was waiting. He sought the Lord and he didn't just drop it there. He said, and he answered me. He always sought God in fearful times. And he always waited for an answer. It's like an echo. You don't ever hear an echo if you don't wait to listen for it. And that's how prayer is. God is going to answer. He's going to answer with silence, or he's going to answer with no, or he's going to answer with yes. But he's going to answer. He hears us. We are his children. And David says, I sought the Lord and he answered me. He said, he's watching me, and I'm going to magnify him. He said, not only that, but he delivered me. You see, God's watching. He's superintending all this. And David comes and he says, Lord. And the Lord answered. And the Lord answered by delivering him from all his fears. He still went through the trouble. He still went through the distress. He still went through the fears, but God delivered him from them. There's nothing wrong with fearing. It's wonderful when your children fear and they run into your arms and throw their arms around you and just hold on tight. That's what it's all about. That's being delivered out of our fears. Look at the third one. It's beautiful. And they looked to him and were radiant. You see, he said, I know you're watching me, so I'm going to look at you. I'm going to look at you and I'm going to be radiant in my times of distress. I'm going to magnify you because when it gets hot, when it gets hard, when it gets difficult, I'm going to look up. I'm going to acknowledge who's in control. And he says their faces will never be ashamed. Here's another one. This poor man cried. And what does he say? And the Lord heard him. You know, the Lord said that. He said, blessed are the poor in spirit. Same idea here. He had a proper view of himself. This poor man cried. And what? The Lord heard him. Another one that's beautiful. And saved him out of all his troubles. You see how he keeps putting the emphasis on magnifying the Lord? He says, I know you see me and I want everybody else to know that you see me. So you save me out of my troubles. Where is he always putting the focus? Off from himself, off from his fears, off from his troubles, and he's swinging it up and magnifying the Lord. Verse 7, another acknowledgement that God is watching. The angel of the Lord encamps around those who acknowledge he's watching. That's those who fear him. Those who respond in their life by acting differently because God is watching. Those kind of people, the angel of the Lord is encamping around about them. Do you see the magnification of God? Acknowledging that the Lord is encamping around us and rescues them. Isn't that beautiful? Oh Lord, I want to magnify you. You're encamping around me and you're going to rescue me. Now sometimes rescue might be just taking us out of the situation. Sometimes it's delivering us through the situation. And sometimes it's letting the situation grind us right down to a pulp so we'll not be self-sufficient. But he's going to deliver us out of that situation. And then he talks next to magnify the Lord and to acknowledge that the Lord is watching. He talks about the personal experiencing of God. Isn't this marvelous? Look at verse 8. Oh, taste and see that the Lord is good. And he said, God, you're watching, and so I'm going to tell people that they should taste and see that you're good because I've experienced that and I want them to too. How blessed is a man who takes refuge in him. Marvelous, David. Takes refuge in God. He's talking again about the fact that God is watching. And if God is watching at the appropriate moment, when a refuge is needed, refuge will be there and refuge will be found. What's another one? Verse 9. Fear the Lord. He was practicing the presence of God. He was saying, I know your presence is with me and I'm going to acknowledge that. He just keeps emphasizing this. For those who fear him, there's no want. Important concept. Fearing God. Livingly acknowledging that thou, God, seest me. The young lions do lack and suffer hunger, but they who seek the Lord, he's watching, seek him. He wants to be a part of our life. He wants to be involved. He wants to impact things for us. Seek him. It's like, you know, having the Goodyear blimp, you know, flying over you all the time, scouting out for you. And he's there. He knows that it's there. And God is far removed from a blimp. But I remember in the Olympics when they were taking the torch up to the Coliseum in 84, because the blimp was following it so the television cameras could have it. And it was always indelibly in my mind, that blimp. And I thought about the fact that God is just watching over us all the time and in tune with us. And how that runner could have known that the whole world was watching him because that television camera was on him. Did you know God is watching us and he just says, seek me and you'll not want any good thing? I'm standing there. I'm offering my grace like the waves of the sea. And like a river, my peace can come to you. And then David continues. He says, come, my children, listen. I will teach you the fear of the Lord. He thinks it's so important. He emphasizes it. He says, God is watching. David said, I want to magnify him. Here's another one. Look at verse 15. The eyes of the Lord are toward the righteous. He's magnifying the Lord. He says, I want you to know he's watching. I'm acknowledging that. Won't you exalt his name by acknowledging that his eyes are toward us? He knew he was in touch with God. An old saint once put it this way. He said, you and God make a majority. But sometimes we need to be like Elisha's servant, who was so scared of all the people that were those enemy troops around Dothan in 2 Kings 6, that he started looking at the enemies. And so Elisha said, excuse me. He said, Lord, open his eyes so we can see the real picture. And That servant looks all around. He saw that the armies of the Lord were encamped round about. You know what he said right here? The eyes of the Lord are toward the righteous. David knew he was in touch. His ears are open. There's another one. Now he's watching. He's listening. Verse 16, he emphasizes some more. The face of the Lord is against the evildoers. And who can stand when God is against you? That's why the Lord said, vengeance is mine, saith the Lord. I will recompense. We don't have to. We don't have to get even. We don't have to go after anyone. We don't need to protract the agony. God will recompense. God will vindicate. His face will be against the evildoers to the extent that He'll cut off their memory from the earth. The righteous cry, and the Lord hears. See how he's cycling through this? He's magnifying the fact that God is watching and is directly involved, and he's giving us every possible opportunity to understand that. Because the Lord hears. And when he hears, verse 17 continues, he delivers them out of their trouble. Why? Verse 18, the Lord is near. You want to magnify God? Acknowledge that he's near. Acknowledge that he is the unseen companion, the often acknowledged partner in every single thing we do. And therefore, if we want to exalt his name, we just have to acknowledge him. That sure resolves a lot of things that we have questions about. The Lord is near to the brokenhearted. He's near. He's watching. He's present. His presence is with us. He wants us to be in touch with that. He saves those who are crushed in spirit. Verse 19, he delivers them. Verse 20, he keeps them. Verse 22, he redeems the soul of his servants. And then here's the ultimate and final expression. And none of those who take refuge in him will be condemned. David is saying in this whole psalm, through a great time of distress in his life, God is watching. God is very much a part of everything I do, and I just want to magnify him because I have ultimately taken refuge in him. So out of a difficult time, out of a time when he was running for his life, acting crazy like a madman before a Philistine warlord, David is saying, I'm taking refuge in God.